When you hear people say, "I'm a homemaker," what comes to mind? How about falling into line of typical domestic roles of stay-at-home mom and housewife? Or keeping the home in order and having lunch bags packed and dinner ready by 6? Or maybe the criticism that homemakers receive because they fail to contribute to the world problems that are bigger than their family. Saying stuff like, "Oh, she's capable of so much more, she is substandard to the working woman," leaving many feeling underappreciated and unworthy. And what about the working woman? The ones who invest in their careers and climb the ranks to achieve the pinnacle of success, but at what cost? Receiving criticism that she has stepped away from traditional values of family and homemaking? Why do so many women feel that it is impossible to do both? That it is a catch-22? I am determined to redefine what it means to be a homemaker. That maybe it goes past the physical task of keeping up with the home and requires more of interactions and investment in the people we love and care for. Join me in redefining, redoing, and rediscovering the balance of being a homemaker in today's world. I am Bree, and this is my podcast. Hey, y'all. So I am so excited to bring you guys this very special series that I've been planning in my heart for you guys for a very long time. This is my unconventional homemaker series, and it is just so important to me to highlight the fact that homemaking is not always limited to how we perceived it and how tradition had it years before us, and that homemaking can be new, it can look different, and families can thrive even with unconventional setups. So I am so excited to bring you guys a friend of mine, Winnell Wilmont. Winnell is a licensed master level social worker with over 4 years of experience working with children and families through roles such as child protective services, program coordinator, overseeing visitation services for families who require supervised visits, and as a clinician where she provides therapy to children and families. Ms. Wilmont is also a life coach with a specialization in stepfamily dynamics. She is the founder of Blended and Flourishing, where she provides coaching services to help stepmoms regain control of their peace and joy and overcome those step challenges. Ms. Wilmont is the author of When a Stepmom Prays, 21 Days Devotional Prayer Journal. And like I said, I'm so excited to bring her on my podcast show today. So Winnell, if you can say hi to everybody.
Hi, everyone. I'm excited to be joining you all today.
Yes, yes. And, you know, just sort of to give you guys a little background of how Winnell and I met. You live in New Jersey, yes. Is that right? And so as you guys know, I live in Texas. So it's one of those things where we actually met through Instagram, and I can't remember what exactly. There was just a specific post. It was like a meet and greet. And you were sharing just your story and your ministry and pretty much just you being a life coach for step families and for stepmoms. And I just thought that that was so interesting. And like I said, I've been planning this series for a very long time because, again, homemaking is very dear to my heart. And when I saw that comment on Instagram, I was just like, oh my gosh, like, Lord, you answered a prayer. And I just remember I was just so excited to talk to you and just sort of to pick your brain and just hear your testimony. And so I'm really excited to have you.
Oh, thank you so much for having me. And it's funny that you mentioned it being God's timing, because I'm also in a Facebook group. So I first saw the post in Facebook and then I answer it in the group. So when I saw it again on her Instagram page, I was kind of reluctant to fill it out. So I was like, well, I just wrote this long thing and I don't know if I should write it again. But I just felt the need to just go ahead and do it again. And so I did. So it's kind of interesting that from that we were able to kind of connect.
For sure. For sure. And so kind of just to really dive into this episode and just pretty much this series, again, I really wanted this series to highlight homemaking. And again, I just think that the title of being a homemaker for your family is just so prestigious and is put on a high pedestal. And I really wanted to shed light on the fact that homemaking is not just limited to the traditional family framework or just the traditional biological mom, biological dad, biological kids setup, but it really can be open to people who have a family setup that is a bit different and that people might think comes with hardship or just challenges, but it's just like, no, families can thrive and families can be joyous and strong regardless of whatever their setup is. And again, I just think that your testimony, your ministry, your business really highlights how step families and stepmoms can also be very strong homemakers and have really strong home family dynamics.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah, no, it's kind of something that kind of led me to this, because it's hard when you grow up certain way and you see one thing, you get accustomed to that. And it's sometimes that's like the only, you think that that's what it is for everybody else. You have that expectation for everybody else, but what works for you, you know, may not work for somebody else. So homemaking is different across the board.
For sure. For sure. One of the things that I like to highlight in my podcast and just my whole platform and business in general is taking homemaking and making it more about your relationships with the people that you love and care for rather than the physical day-to-day tasks of the home. And in my business, I talk about how within the home and within families, there's really four big relationships that you need to focus on. And I talk about being focused on your relationship with self, your relationship with a significant other or your spouse, relationship with your kids. And then when I pose the idea of relationship with your home, I challenge people to think not of the physical home, but of people who you bring into your home and who are a part of your tribe and who are a part of your community. And so kind of really diving into this episode, I wanted to talk about maybe from that standpoint, what are some of the relationships that you really needed to focus on when it comes to self, spouse, kids, and your home?
Well, the very first one, when I first entered the role as a stepmom, I think the one I focused on the most was me being a stepmom. And then later on, I realized that my first role should have been my relationship with myself.
So talk to me a little bit about what that means, because it sounds like you, you know, decided to take on the role of being a stepmom and you focusing all on that and where that shift came from. Oh, I really need to focus on myself. Can you kind of just share that perspective or even just kind of share your story?
Sure. So my husband and I kind of have a unique story, because when we got married, we were living across country from one another. So I had moved to Arizona in 2013. And so he and I, we got married in 2015. And at that time, I was still living in Arizona. He was living in New Jersey. And so I stepped into the role of a stepmom in more of an emotional way than the physical form, because I wasn't physically there to be with the kids, be around them. And then in 2017, when I relocated back to New Jersey, that was when it moved from me playing that emotional role into having, you know, emotional and physical role, because now the children, you know, will come spend the summer, or we'll see them every other weekend. And so my number one desire for my stepchildren, and whom, if you hear me just say my kids, just know that I'm referring to them as well, because I don't use the term stepchildren when I'm referring to them. But when I physically got involved into their lives, it was one of my goals to, of course, make them feel that they're nurtured, they're loved, they're cared for. And so I stepped in that role to try to do everything that I could for them to be able to receive that. And in addition to that, also be supportive to my husband, because we dealt with parental annihilation. So supporting him in fighting to be in his children's life. And it was a lot. We dealt with felt like we was in court like almost every other day for one thing or the next. And he just wanted to be in his children's life. And then I wanted to be that supportive partner who would support him through that. And so when the kids are over, I played that mother role in the home. Cook, clean, make sure they have everything that they're supposed to have. So just having that mindset with, oh, I want them to feel a certain type of way. And so I'm going to make sure, you know, I'm doing what I think that needs to be done for them to feel a certain type of way, because I never wanted for them to feel as though, oh, my stepmom don't like me, or, you know, my stepmom is mean, or it's because she's my stepmom, that's why she treat me this way. So kind of like the typical thing that society have made, I can't even think about the right term for this, but the stereotype that society have associated with the term stepmom, you know, like the evil stepmom. And so I never wanted them to have that experience. So I was focused on that and then doing all that. And of course I work, and then I'm also a bio mom. My husband and I, we have a daughter together. And so nurturing the relationship between all of the children, and then also doing things in a way that they do not feel like I favor my bio child over them. So all of that stress and everything was overwhelming. And it really led me to being stressed, overwhelmed, having anxiety, and even experiencing depression. And at some point, I was just like, this is kind of like too much. Some days where I feel like I had no energy whatsoever. I was just going through the motion in a sense. And that was when I started realizing that I had to work on myself.
Right. And I think it's so important to highlight the fact that, you know, when you agreed to step into the role of being a stepmom, and when you decided that when you were going to marry your husband, you were going to accept his children as well. And it just sounds like you had such a pressure or an expectation for yourself in what you think a stepmom should be or should not be. And you focused so much on how others perceived you, whether it was, you know, your husband, your children, or in this sense, your stepchildren, but they really are your children. And then even the perception that your biological daughter has of you, and just sort of juggling that, it just sounds like you had a certain level of expectation for yourself, and how that kind of got overwhelming, just thinking of how everybody else perceives you.
Yes, definitely. And expectations are something that is kind of like the red flag in a sense. Because if you don't adjust your expectation, you might just end up running yourself into the road, depending what it is that you're dealing with. And that's something that personally I struggle with in the past, because I've always been kind of like my biggest critic in a sense, and then also just had a higher expectation for myself in a sense than I have for other people.
Mm-hmm. And so talk to me a little bit about what that expectation was, or, you know, how you felt that stepmoms were perceived, and then how you redefined it. Because when you walked into this relationship, you really focused on, you know, just your relationship with other people, but how did you center it back to your relationship with self and what you define as being a stepmom?
Yes. For me, when I got to that point where it was like, something has to change, this can be it. And that was when I started kind of assessing things and started to look within. And then of course, for me, prayer is a huge thing for me. So journaling, praying. So I started to do those things. And then I started to think back to my childhood, which was something, for some odd reason, I don't know why, I never made the connection. But I started to think back to my childhood. And then I remember growing up, and I believe I was like maybe 4, 5 in that age range. I remember my dad dating a woman whom she was not a kind person at all. And she had her daughter, and she made it known that she preferred her daughter over me. And I remember how that kind of made me feel. And then thinking about that, I also thought about an experience I had with another of his girlfriends that he dated. And at that time, we would go back and forth between our mom and dad, my siblings and I, and we will live with our dad for maybe like a year or so, live with the mom. And when we were with dad, he wasn't physically there all of the time. So it was the woman who was in the home who was actually raising us. And so with the first woman, I did not have a good experience with her at all. But the second woman, she was loving, she was caring. She made us feel like I was one of her children. And even her biological children made us feel like we were their siblings. So there was no feeling of, oh, I don't belong, or, oh, you know, she favors them over me. I never had that sense growing up. So I did not realize that when I stepped into the role as a stepmom, my idea of what a stepmom is supposed to do or not supposed to do was actually shaped from my personal experience of what I experienced and then the worldview of what, you know, a stepmom is. And when I started doing that self-assessment and started looking inward and really trying to figure out things, that was when I started to realize that what I was doing now, you know, had been shaped by my experiences and me wanting to prevent my stepchildren from experiencing that negative emotion, negative feeling, neglect, whatever it was that I experienced when I was growing up. I didn't want them to have that. And that was kind of like the leading factor to me creating this expectation of myself.
Right. And I remember when we were talking and sort of planning out this episode, you know, one, you just take such pride in being a stepmom. And I just remember thinking how much pride you take in the children that might not be your biological children, but were gifted to you, and how much you try to show them love and kindness and be inclusive of them. And I remember as we were talking, you talked about how in your effort to include them in that pressure to try to love them as a stepmom and knowing the limitations you have as a stepmom, that you were neglecting your biological child. And I wanted to sort of pick your brain and get, where did that insecurity come from? Or where did that feeling of you being neglectful of your biological child, where did that come from?
Thank you for the previous compliment, because they're my babies and I love them. Definitely. So within the effort of trying to make sure that they didn't feel left out and they didn't feel like a second thought or afterthought in any shape or form, I was not paying attention so much to my biological daughter and what she was feeling. And part of it could have been because she's such an amazing little girl and she's a family person. And I tell my husband this all the time, that I think God already knew what she was. He already knew what she was coming into, the family dynamic and how stressful it can be and all of the components that go with it. And the fact that, you know, she's going to share her mom and share her dad with other siblings. And so he just made her perfectly for our family dynamics, because she loves family and she loves her sibling. So I think with her personality, it didn't really dawn on me that when I will focus on having family plans meant that everybody will be there, because I didn't want the children to feel like, oh, they did this without us. And so that became our norm at the time. We wouldn't do anything kind of like special or go out, do anything fun if everybody wasn't there. And with her, she's used to also having a lot of one-on-one time with me, because when we were living in Arizona, you know, my family was there, but it was she and I for a very, you know, long time. So she was used to having that one-on-one time with mommy. So now she wasn't having it so much because, well, I'm working. And by the time I come home from work, homework, dinner, then it's bedtime. And then on the weekends, when her siblings are there, we would do something with her siblings. When her siblings are not there, we might just stay home. I'm tired. I probably want to rest. And so it didn't hit me that I was neglecting her in some shape or form until one day we were about to drive somewhere or just came back from somewhere. I think she was maybe 5 at the time. Either 5 or 6. And I just hear this tiny voice coming from the back seat saying something like, "Well, mommy, why don't we spend enough time together anymore? Why don't we do fun stuff, fun family stuff?" And it kind of just pierced my soul to hear that coming out of the mouth of a baby. Yeah. Mm. And that was a deep moment for me, especially, and I know a lot of moms will be able to relate to this, whether you're a stepmom or not, but having that mom guilt for when you have a child and then you're going to school, you're working, so you don't have as much time to spend with them and pour into them as you want. So I already had that mom guilt because I had her before I went to school to get my master's degree. And so while I was getting my master's degree, time wasn't as available because I was also working and going to school at the same time. And so I had that guilt.
Yeah.
Oh, well, when I graduate, I'm going to be able to spend more time with her. And then when I graduated, I went straight into working. And then when I left that job and we transitioned from that to New Jersey, then now work, having more kids and all of those things were added onto my plate. And I totally did not realize that until she said that to me and I started to think about it. And that was when I had to reevaluate what I thought a stepmom was, what I thought a functional stepfamily is. And I had to go back to the drawing board and I had to redefine my role as a stepmom.
Right. That's so beautiful. And again, it's just one of those things where it just sounds like one of the things that you really looked at is just how family time looks. And again, it just sounds like in your previous mindset that, you know, when you spend family time, you have to wait for all of the family to be there in order to make sure that other family members or other children don't feel left out, and how that was stressful. And it's one of those things where it just sounds like it wasn't just stressful, but it was just in you trying to just optimize your time that you were leaving your biological child out of what she was experiencing before she was gifted with siblings. So you talk about how your idea of family time changed once you started to really get into the mindset of, okay, let's redefine what my role is as a stepmom, and me being the homemaker and the creator of the environment, how is that going to look like in order for everyone to feel nurtured and loved and be thriving?
You know what I mean? No, definitely. And so I went back to the drawing board and I just started to assess things. And I realized that us doing something when the other children wasn't there, that was not neglecting them or leaving them out. Because when they were not with me, they were with their biological mother and they were doing things with their biological mother that, you know, kids are supposed to do with their biological mother. So they were having experiences with their biological mother. So me neglecting my daughter from experiences because, you know, I didn't want her siblings to feel that they were missing out wasn't an ideal situation. And so I redefined what family time was. So family time was when whomever we with, whatever we're doing, that's family time. So if it was just me and my husband for that weekend doing something, if it was just my husband and our youngest daughter, that was family time. If we had everybody, it was family time in a sense. And if it was something major where maybe we needed everybody to be there, then we will plan it that way. But if it wasn't something major, whomever that was available at the time will partake in that event. And then also having mother and daughter days was something that was important to me so that she wouldn't feel left out and feel like she's missing out on her mom. So we started having constant mother and daughter days.
I love that. And it's crazy because that idea, that can apply to any family setup. Because one, I mean, we live in a very fast-paced world and, you know, individuals have their own schedule. And it's hard to get everybody on the same page and have everybody's schedule be open. And this is the time that we're going to do something. And I just know that it's stressful. And I'm not a step parent. it's stressful to get everybody's schedule open and just, you know, shifting your mindset about family time, not having to include everybody, but whoever is available at that time. You guys are still spending time as a family. It alleviates a lot of the pressure, if that makes sense.
No, it sure does. And it shifts things for me and my family once I came to that realization.
For sure, for sure. And I also wanted to kind of direct the conversation towards your relationship with your stepchildren or with your children who are not born from you, and just sort of talk about how, if there was a shift in how you interacted with them or how you perceived yourself and how they perceived you. Does that make sense?
Yes, it does. So for me, it's kind of like what I said, I put more expectation on myself than other people. So all of the pressure and the expectation was on me and what I expected. And I just expected them to be kids in a sense, but to feel safe within the environment that they were in. And so I allow them to walk their own pace when it comes to building a relationship with me, bonding, getting to know me. And it was never a force and, oh, you know, we have to connect in that sense. They took their own time in getting to know me, feeling comfortable around me. I mean, they already was aware of who I was before my husband and I got married, but building that close connection where now we're under the same roof in a sense, I went along with their pace. And so I just give them the space to be kids. Mm-hmm. We often do something in my family that works and that I love. We have family meetings where we would discuss any type of issues, concerns, chores, whatever it is. And we give room for the kids to voice their opinion, for them to express how they feel, input, and all of those things. And a part of it could be my social work background.
Of course, I always think that social workers are the best homemakers just by our trait.
Yes. And so that could be part of the reason why, because I did not grow up that way. So maybe a part of it could be I didn't experience that. So I wanted my children to have that, you know, experience where they can vocalize their opinions. And I acknowledge where they are. I acknowledge that it might be hard for them, you know, going between homes and having different rules and expectation between homes. And that was one thing that when the kids started coming over after I moved to New Jersey, we had like an introduction family meeting and where we talked about rules and expectation, because I know my values, you know, and my husband values, all of the things may not be the same as their biological mother values. And so we didn't want them to be confused. So we had that conversation with them. Like, it's okay if you do this at mom house, if mom allows it, but this is not okay to do this. You know, in this home, we don't allow it. This is what we expect. And so giving them understanding of that to kind of remove the confusion and the pressure off of them all. Well, what am I expected to do over here? Do I act here the same way I act to mom? But then also giving them the freedom to be themselves as well. And so I'm blessed to say that, because I know there are some stepmoms out there who struggle in this area with bonding, you know, with their stepchildren. And I'm extremely blessed to say that that was not one of my struggles.
Well, I'm glad to hear that too. But it seems like you were very intentional just from the get-go to establish those strong relationships with your stepchildren, with your children. And it's so important to highlight. It's just like, yes, to not be oblivious to the fact that they are switching homes. And it sounds like you really respected the fact that they have two homes that they're going to, and they have two family setups that they're going to, with homes that have different expectations. And it just sounds like from the get-go, you really made it a point to establish a strong foundation where your relationship with your children had an opportunity to grow. Does that make sense?
Yes. And that's exactly what it was. Mm-hmm. And even down to, like I say, I refer to them as my children. So my sons, my daughters, or like depending on the type of conversation, our children in the sense, never my stepchildren. Only when I'm talking to people who, you know, need that kind of differentiation is mm-hmm. when it would be mentioned. And so even with that, I had that conversation with them. And I told them, for me, calling them my stepchildren, something personally for me was not comfortable for me. So mm-hmm. I prefer to call them my son, or, you know, call them my daughter, because I have four stepkids. So three boys and one girl. And mm-hmm. so we have five children all together. And mm-hmm. so I had that conversation with them, and I told them they don't have to call me mom. They don't have to feel pressure, you know, to give me a title. So they call me, people who know me calls me by my initial. So they call me Miss T, and I let them know that I'm okay with that.
Well, one thing that you sort of hinted at, and I kind of want to dive a little bit more into this topic, but you kind of talked about your role as being their stepmom and, you know, again, allowing them the opportunity and the space to sort of explore that role without you pressuring them to be like, no, you need to call me mom, because they have a biological mom, and just sort of giving them the space to navigate how they're processing their family setup. And I can only imagine some of the limitations that step parents have. And I kind of wanted to just sort of pick your brain, and if you can just sort of share some of the limitations you have as a step parent and how you came to terms with that and you were still able to blend your family together.
Yes, there are a lot of limitations, because you may love them that like they're your biological child or children. You may care for them like they're your biological child or children, but because legally they are not, decisions, when it comes to making decisions, you're limited in that. And one of the things that, again, I'm just blessed all around. And so one of my many blessings has to do with my relationship with my husband. We have a solid foundation, so we make decisions together. So it kind of eliminated that part of just having the limits of what I can do or not do on behalf of my children. It took it away from being this big old stop red sign where it's like, oh, stop. You know, that's not your area to go. Stop. That's not your area to go. So the relationship that I have with my husband took that away, because we communicate well, we partner, and we team up with our children. And a part of it is, you know, he trusts me and he knows that I have the children's best interest at heart, even though I am not their biological mother. So when it comes to making decisions, I don't feel left out. I don't feel like he's making decisions with their biological mom and I'm left out in the corner, even though those decisions may affect me directly or indirectly. And so something that we do, we talk. If he's deciding on something that has to do with their children, whether it's like medical or anything with them, he let them know, I will get back to you. He let the bio mom know, I will get back to you. He will talk to me about it. Sometimes it's just me just listening to him and telling him, well, it sounds like you already have the right idea. So do what you think is best. Sometimes it's me giving him my feedback, and sometimes it's me helping him to see things from a different perspective. So he may not be on the same, he may not have the same perspective as their bio mom, and he may disagree with certain things. And so sometimes it's me getting him to look at it from a different perspective. So it diffuses any type of confusion that misunderstanding could lead to, in a sense. So having that is extremely important. And this is one of the things that I work with stepmoms, because you have to have a good relationship with yourself. And then secondly, you and your spouse have to have a solid foundation. You guys are a team. And mm-hmm. that's when that stress and the obvious of how much control you have over certain things is like in your face, when the stepmom does not have a solid foundation with her spouse.
Right. And it just sounds like you and your husband really have a sense of trust within each other, as far as you realizing that your role as the stepmom in some of your children's lives, you know, you kind of being okay with being a support and trusting that your husband is able to navigate those waters with the biological mom, and him trusting that you will be there in the back to be like, I'm here to support you. Let's talk it out. But again, giving that space and that responsibility to the biological parents, because I can only imagine how stressful it would be for you to be like, okay, I'm a stepmom, but still trying to take on those expectations and responsibilities, whether it is internally or legally in this sense of a biological parent. And it's just like, again, just knowing the role that you play in that relationship and you guys trusting each other, that you guys have the children and the family's best interests at heart. I can just imagine having that type of communication and trust within each other has made this process so much easier for you and your family.
It definitely has, because it's something that a lot of stepmoms struggle with, where they feel like an outsider coming in where the dad already have an established tradition bond with his children. And, you know, she feels like she's an outsider coming in and she have to find her way to kind of penetrate. And that's also even goes towards bonding with, you know, stepmom bonding with her stepchild. The dad is, that's his territory. That's his home court. He knows his team. And so he has to be the one to let her in, you know, his team, and let her know, well, this is kind of how we do things. How can we adjust it so that it kind of fits with everybody? Or maybe are you comfortable with kind of just joining into with our current tradition? You know, and it's just an analogy, but having that takes off the pressure and it makes it easier for everybody to get along and to build a relationship with each other. But when you don't have that, and when dad is stuck within whatever tradition that he had with bio mom, or he had that he has with his biological children, and he's not realizing that, oh, I am not letting stepmom in, it's hard.
For sure, for sure. You know, we've been having great conversation, and I can listen to you and just your story. I just think you give out so much wisdom and peace, and actually give solutions to some of these emotions that, you know, step parents might feel. But I do want to sort of, you know, talk about how you started your ministry and how it kind of came from you identifying a gap in just supportive services and or just support within the community for step parents. And a big piece of my platform, of my business and building a strong home, is your relationship with your home or your relationship with people who you identify as your community. And so I kind of wanted to just sort of pick your brain at how that came about, maybe some of the gaps that you identified when you were searching for support through your hard time and how you filled that gap.
So it's funny because there's this whole world out there of stepmoms and stepfamilies that I was not aware of. I had no idea whatsoever there's like communities out there. And so when I actually started looking, that was when I started coming across, I'm like, oh, there's blog posts about there, there's Facebook group, and there's this and there's that. And it was just amazing to me because I am the only one in my circle, in a sense, that's a stepmom. And I have supported friends and supported family members. But it's something about connecting with somebody who actually have experienced what you are experiencing or has experienced something similar that kind of gives you that comfort. And so even though I would have great support and advice from my friends or family, they were not stepmoms or are not stepmoms. So they do not have that firsthand experience of what, you know, I was going through. And so when I started searching for these communities, that's when I discovered there was a world out there. But then something that I noticed, especially when it came to a lot of groups on Facebook that dedicated to stepmoms or just step parenting as a whole, there was so much negativity in there. And it was like just a vent session for a lot of those groups. And I mean, it could be related to the fact that many people don't have that support system from someone who identify, you know, as a step parent. So that's their only place to go and vent, because they know that the people in the group is going to understand. But also doing that does not improve the situation. It kind of just keeps you stuck in that negative emotion. And that was something that I didn't want. So I started looking more towards places that had more positivity, that had solutions, and focus on the solution more than the problem.
Yes.
So Blended and Flourishing for me came about as a way for me to share tips on just step family, on being a stepmom, to share light, share positivity, and to change the perspective of stepmom, that they are in control of their narrative and it doesn't have to be the narrative of what society has made it to be. And the core of Blended and Flourishing is that, you know, these women roles and my role as a stepmom is purposeful. It didn't happen by accident. God knew we were going to be stepmoms, and the children we have, you know, that we have been blessed with, they are not, you know, our spouse children or their biological mom children in the sense, they're God's children. So when we start looking at it from that perspective, it makes it easier when we're dealing with these challenges and how we can navigate it. And so that's kind of where Blended and Flourishing came from, in a sense. And I've been able to come across at least one Facebook group that I'm sort of active in. I more read and maybe make comment than actually sharing, asking questions, I should say. And it's called The Joyful Stepmom. And I see more, and it could be I align with it more too, because it is a faith-based group. They encourage taking a biblical approach to situations. And so that could be part of the reason why I align with it too as well. But I also love the let's stay on the positive route. Like, it's okay to vent, but you don't want to stay in that place of despair, and changing the narrative in a sense.
Right, right. No, and I love it. And I love the point that you make about you saying that there's a lot of groups out there that, you know, are geared towards step parents. And my thing is, I always feel like, you know, sometimes you just need to vent, like to just release some of that stress. But when it becomes a problem, or when it becomes unhealthy and toxic, is if you stay in that mindset of I'm venting, I'm complaining, this isn't fair. And it's just like having an outlet where it's just like, yes, we understand how hard it is. But, you know, when you are in community and you come from a perspective of let's figure out how to make this situation better, because at the end of the day, as hard as it might be to blend families together like that, every family deserves to be happy and deserves to be joyful and deserves to be strong and thriving in their home. And step families and blended families are not separate from that deserving peace in the home. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm. Yes, it does. And definitely with surrounding yourself with a space, you know, that's just full of venting all the time, you could be having a good day where things are going well with your family, and you log in and you read in a lot of posts where people, you know, they are struggling, they're venting, and it triggers something for you.
Mm-hmm.
And then now your good day was just ruined. So, because then it took you back to that place where when things, you know, were not so good, or maybe something that happened that you tried to kind of work through and let go, it brought it back up. And so it's just being cautious of your environment.
Mm-hmm.
And definitely something that I believe that's kind of the huge backing of this type of perspective and the challenges that happens when it comes with stepmom, and especially with the bio mom relationship, is that society has branded stepmom as being evil and branded the bio mom as being the enemy. So when that negative perspective is there, it's kind of hard for you to even see when the person is doing something good or something positive. Mm-hmm. Because you're so overwhelmed with the negativity.
For sure, for sure. And so I think it's so important. What I really try to do is provide my listeners and just families and homemakers and women out there with some resources. And the mere fact that through your own experience, through your own search of finding that support, as far as online communities to help sort of navigate these waters and just keep yourself as a step parent in a positive mindset. You talk about The Joyful Stepmom, which is a Facebook group. And you have an Instagram page as well called Blended and Flourishing. Is that right?
Yes.
Yes. And so, you know, just to provide y'all with just some resources online, you know, Blended and Flourishing on Instagram, The Joyful Stepmom on Facebook. And then is there any online resources or communities that you can sort of suggest to my listeners out there that can sort of help them protect their mindset and keep it positive?
So I will say this, because for me, the group that I mentioned is what I frequent in, but it's out there. There's a lot of resources out there. So if you go on Facebook and you just search stepmom or, you know, step parenting, groups would pop up. If you go on Google and search, groups will pop up. So it might be you just exploring to find the space that meets your need, in a sense. So you might join a group, and if you feel like what they're talking about and how things are ran in the group is not what you're looking for, then you leave. Another awesome resource is Pinterest. There's a lot of blogs out there where stepmom coaches or women who are just stepmom, they're not a coach, but they share the experiences on how they got through certain challenges. Funny story, this is how I even discovered blogging on Pinterest. I was struggling with how to kind of introduce the children. If somebody asked me, how many children do I have? Because I call them my children. So I say I have 5 children. But then I also felt like a fraud in a sense, because they were not all my biological children. And so I went to a shower one day and they asked me, and I was like, well, I have 5 children. And then the response was, oh my God, your body looks so amazing for 5 children. And then right then and there, I felt guilty. I'm like, well, I didn't give birth to all 5 of them. So I went online and I searched, I'm not sure the exact term that I used. I searched on Pinterest, but it had to do something with like the best way to kind of like introduce your kids in the sense. And that's how I came across. There's this huge blogging world out there of for stepmom support.
I see. So Pinterest, Google, there's resources out there, and it's much easier to find than we expect, is what you're saying. You just kind of have to, you know, really just seek it out, but you'll find it.
Yeah.
And so what are some other ways that you personally do to sort of help cope besides surrounding yourself with community?
So a huge one for me is my faith. Mm-hmm. So definitely reading my Bible, listening to sermons, listening to gospel music. It does it for me. I also love to journal, so I prayer journal a lot. And it was what kind of led me to create my devotional prayer journal for stepmoms. It's a 21 days devotional prayer journal. And you mentioned it in the beginning. It's called When a Stepmom Prays, Keeping Your Peace and Joy in the Midst of Chaos. Mm. And that journal was like God led in a sense, because he gave me the desire for it and the ideas. He kind of like just fed it to me in a sense. And it's even, he gave me a formula for how a family who's trying to blend, or and a stepmom who's trying to blend her family, an approach to take, which is kind of similar to your structure for your audience. And so for that is structure. And for me, I start with gratitude, and then is yourself and finding yourself, finding your identity within Christ, because we are God's daughter first before we are moms, wives, or any other roles that we play. And so then it goes to their relationship with their spouse, you know, their marriage. Then it talks about their relationship with their stepchildren, with the bio mom and extended family. So that was the structure that he fed me with. And that was how I laid out the prayer journal. So I'm excited because I've been getting great feedback, and I'm excited for what is going to do, you know, in the lives of the stepmoms who are going to give it a try.
You really pursued that calling in your heart. It's so much needed. And I think it's so important to shed love and positivity and a positive voice, because we live in a world that just focuses on the negative, and you just hear so much negativity and I just think that there needs to be more voices out there that are not ignoring the struggles of life, but that are really speaking life into this world. So with that being said, we have had such a long conversation, Wanell, but I think this is really going to help our homemakers and our moms and women in general out there. So thank you so much for joining me today.
You are most welcome, and thank you so much for having me. What you are doing is amazing. Your message, your platform is amazing, is well needed, and I love it. You know, I tell you that all the time.
I love what you're doing. Well, like I said, I think it's just so important to, you know, again, surround yourself with like-minded women. And when you find somebody whose message and whose calling is so much intertwined with what you feel like you were called to do, it's so important to just stay connected and encourage and empower each other. And so, like I said, this was definitely God-destined for us to meet and for us to connect. And so thank you so much for this great conversation.
Oh, you're welcome. Oh, you're welcome.
Thank you so much for tuning in. If you enjoyed what you heard, please subscribe to this podcast and join me in redefining, redoing, and rediscovering the balance of being a homemaker in today's world. I invite you to follow me on Instagram at mrs.iambree. I would love to interact with you and get your thoughts on this week's episode. They say that home is where the heart is. I welcome you into my home, into my heart.